And of course, during this time, I know it's very trying on the church because of pastor and very special man, and they don't make them like that anymore. And so,
amen. But during that time, you're praying. Man, I know a lot of prayers. A lot of prayers went up. And I've called pastors, and I know you have, all over this country. I got a hold of Brother Peacock down there. They were praying. Got a hold of Brother Donovan at Bible Baptist. They were praying. Brother Ted Hines at their church, praying. Getting a hold of everybody I could get a hold of to get a hold of God. Amen. And I know y'all were the same way. Man, but like Zarna said, they were just praying harder on the other side. They were more over on the other side praying for him to come on. Man, and I'm happy for him. I am miserable for me. So I was thinking on this message this morning, and I think it's fitting for us. Maybe grab some comfort this morning out of it. Take your Bible and turn over to Proverbs 2 and 2. The message is entitled, Speak, Lord, Thy Servant Heareth. And truly, my pastor was a servant. And my pastor is no longer with me. And so I need to have some comfort from God, and I need to be able to hear from Him. I need to be able to hear His voice. And I want to give you a message this morning on hearing God's voice as a servant. Now in Proverbs chapter 2 this morning, the Bible says, So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart unto understanding. Let's pray. Father, I do ask that you just take what's said here this morning to help your people. And Father, I am sorely inadequate to even stand here, Father, behind the man of God. But I pray for help this morning, Lord, for your people. And Father God, that you help your congregation. Bless them, Lord. Father, have your will in your way. And God, just thank you for the man of God that's been in our life. Father, we lift these things up this morning to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning we want to look at some things. We want to be able to get some understanding because things have happened that we don't understand. Amen. And I need some wisdom in how to deal with things. Because loss is a hard thing. And you go, I don't understand. And Lord, I need some guidance and I need some wisdom. But to get those things, I've got to be able to hear His voice. And I want to look at some things this morning to help us to how to hear His voice. Now, we pick Proverbs because it's an instructional book to give us some things to help us. Now, we want to look over some things. I want to give you some things this morning on some examples on the Lord speaking to individuals in the Bible. And we want to look at the way He spoke and what was surrounding and what was going on at the speaking. So the first one I'd like for you to look at this morning, if you would, take your Bible and turn over to me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, of course, this is dealing with the young child Samuel. And we're going to read some verses here through verse 1 through 11. And we're going to get some other ones in the Bible. But I want to start out here. The Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass that time when Eli laid down in his place, and his eyes were to begin to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli, and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered and said, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lay down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth, it shall tingle." Now what I want to look at this morning is we want to notice some things that about the way the Lord talks to people. Now here's a young boy. He's not an adult. And Samuel's a small boy and he doesn't know the Lord yet. And he goes and he lays down in his bed. Now notice the wisdom of God in how he talks. Boy's laying down, it's quiet, and he's about to go to sleep. It's still. I find that a lot of times if I want to hear from God, I've got to get someplace and be still. And I've got to get quiet. You see, the Lord understood a boy. Because a boy, when he's awake, he's like an Energizer bunny. He's running around doing things, and I'm sure he was not a bad boy, but he was still a boy. And it's hard to get to hear something when you're distracted by everything. Every grasshopper that comes by, or every bug that flies, or a stick, or a can, or anything else he can get to pick up and play with and look at. The Lord, it's hard for us to hear the Lord when we're cumbered about by many things. And so the Lord waited until he was still. So you want to make note of that. I want to hear from God. I need to be still. I need to be quiet. And I need to be in a place that I'm relaxed. Notice that he was laying on his bed. He was relaxed. He had let go of everything else. He wasn't thinking about work, wasn't thinking about the wife, wasn't thinking about the kids, wasn't thinking about the taxes coming up, wasn't thinking about why he ain't making enough money, wasn't thinking about everything else. You're going to have to hear from God. You're going to have to relax and get to a place that's still and quiet. Because why? Because you got to hear his voice. And he wants to speak to us. Notice that he kept coming back to Samuel. He kept coming back to him. Samuel got up, run off, went to Eli. He said, "Go lay back down." He'd lay back down. The Lord was there talking to him. The Lord wants to talk to you. The Lord desires to speak to you. The Lord wants to comfort you. The Lord wants to give you what you need. But we have got to be still and quiet. And sometimes that's hard. Because our emotions are tore up. Things are going on that just are tearing us up. And we're emotional. We're fearful. We have a desire for something to happen. And we want something corrected or an answer to something. And we get ourselves worked up. And you've got to be still. You've got to relax. You've got to allow the Lord to speak to you. That's why it's most people today have a trouble with prayer life. Because one, we're never still. And it's never quiet. There's always something going on in our life. There's always something, noise. And it's hard to... Have you ever tried to find a place that's just quiet? I really believe that's why Pastor enjoyed the woods so much. I talked with him on it on several occasions. And we'd sit and we'd talk, and he said, "It's quiet." He said, "I can sit," and he said, and he's told me this many times we've talked. He said, "I can sit," he said, "and I," he said, "I'll read my Bible before I go," and he said, "I'll meditate on what I read." And he said, "Then while I'm sitting there," he said, I can," he said, "in my mind's eye," he said, "I can see the church." And he sees where everybody sits. And he said, "I will take my time and go through there and pray for every person." Because he can see it. He can see where Lisa and Dale sit. He'll start on one side or the other, and he'll just work his way through, calling out every name, praying. But you got to be still. You got to be relaxed to be able to do that. So we find here, using the example of this young boy, that it's possible. Because listen, if a young boy can do it, if God can speak to a young boy, as energetic as they are, then it's not impossible for us. Because we always want to say, "Well, I just can't do that, Brother Jay. I know some people can, but I just don't have that ability." If a young boy can do it, then God proves to me that we all can do it. If a young boy can hear the voice of the Lord, then that proves to me we all can hear it. We've just got to get ourselves where we can hear. We want answers, don't you? You want to be comforted, don't you? You want to hear from Him, don't you? You want to get some things off your chest to Him. You want to tell Him, say, "Lord, I'm hurting, and I don't like it." You got to get still. Because you can't get the balm of Gilead if you don't be still. And so we find this young boy, he's still, he's quiet, and there's no distractions. There's nothing it's in the night. You know, I found, as I looked through these examples, a lot of them are times either in the evening or in the morning when things are quiet. You know, something that I love about living up here is, and I get to the woods again, but have you ever been in the woods when it snowed? Everything just gets quiet. Oh, man. It is so beautiful. It is so peaceful. To find a place that's just quiet. Just blanketed in white. Watching the snow fall. And everything just quiets down. And you're sitting in there. And it's just like it's something really special. It's like you've been blessed for that moment of time just to be there. And when you get to that place to where you're still and you're quiet and you've got the distractions out of the way and the Lord's speaking to you, it's blessed for that moment of time. But you got to get to that place. Now, we're not talking about something that these New Agers would do of talking about meditation and all this and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being still and being quiet and meditating on the Word of God and lifting up your voice in prayer and sitting after you pray and waiting quietly. You know, we have altar call, and I know you come down here, and I know in our mind, listen, folks, I know in our mind we are trying to be timely. Because we're afraid that if I'm down here too long, people are going to get upset. The song's going to go on and on and on and all that. You know, so I want to be timely with my prayer. I'm going to get down there. My heart. We've got to get out of that. Listen, the song can stop. If you need to leave, leave. We'll close the service. Listen, if you're down here on this altar and God has called you down here, do not feel that, "Oh, I've got to get up by the third stanza," and you're paying more attention to the piano player and what verse he's singing than you are about hearing from God. Because what it does, and this is a bad thing, it conditions you to hurry up. And you don't hurry prayer. You got to pray, and then you've got to be still to hear. You've got to. Because if you don't, you pray and then you get up and you walk off, you'll never hear. God will go, where's he going? And you won't get nothing. And so we find the boy Samuel was that way because of his innocence. It actually helped him because he didn't know. So he laid down and he was still. And so we find that his stillness and his quietness and no distraction was allowing him to hear the voice of God, and God was speaking to Samuel. Now take your Bible and we'll move on. Look over in 1 Kings. Now this next one is a depressed preacher. Old Elijah. He's taken off. The woman Jezebel has just put him into a tailspin. And he's run off. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, starting in verse 1, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. This man killed 400 and something prophets of Baal up there on the mountain. And a woman run him out of town. Now, I don't mean that to disrespect any woman in here. It's not a gender thing. I'm just stating the fact. She was a woman. And she run him out of town. He took off. This is the man of God. And he says, but he himself, verse 4, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested himself that he might die. In other words, his prayer. He says a prayer when he gets out. He gets a day's journey outside the city, sits down and makes a request. I just want to die. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. Depression, if you notice anybody that has depression, they sleep a lot. It's one of the signs. He's depressed. He's out there. He just wants to die. Done. Finished. Now, you may not have had that type of a deep depression, but you've had troubles to where you just said, that's enough. I can't take no more. And you just told God, said, God, I'm done. Because that's basically what he's telling God. I'm done. I'm not taking anymore. I want you to notice what God does. How good our God is. He goes that day's journey. He gets along. Nobody else is around. Notice that he's away from everybody. The same thing applies that's going with Samuel the boy. A little different. He's in his room. Here is an instance of a man away. He's out in the wilderness. He's away. All right? Notice in verse 5 through 8, let's look at some things. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. The mercy of God. The comfort of God. Here's a man who's having some depressional problems. He's got some issues. And God doesn't go down there and kick him and say, get up, get back in there and do what I told you to do. Didn't do that. The Lord just touches him and says, rise and eat. You need some nourishment. You know what? Sometimes when we hear from the Lord, we just need to get some nourishment. When you've got problems, you've got issues, you've got things that's just burdening your heart, you know what you need? You're getting to get some nourishment. And what we need to do is we need to get in the book and we need to get some nourishment. We need to feed our soul. We need to feed our spirit. Why? So that we get ourselves, our strength up, so that we can hear. You know why a lot of Christians can't get answers to prayer? It's because they're weak and they need nourishment. And they need to strengthen themselves so that they're able to get alone and get that time so that they can be silent and still and relaxed. They need to get that thing out of their life. They need to get themselves cleaned up and you get some nourishment in there, get some good things going on inside that body. That's why the Bible says the washing and renewing of your mind with the water of the Word. You want to wash your mind out. You want to get clean. You want to get some nourishment. You want to get some things in there. Hydrate yourself. Why? Because we get dry. He said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water. Now, what's bread and water in the Bible? Bread is the Word of God. What's water? Top of the Holy Spirit. So bread and water, cake and a cruse. You need to eat. You need to take of this. You need to get something in you. You need to allow it to minister to you. Because that's what food does. It ministers to our flesh. It ministers to our body. So the Word of God ministers to our spirit and to our soul. Why? So that I can strengthen myself and prepare myself for what I need. And we find here, he says, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him. And said, and rise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. You know, you're on a journey, pilgrim. And the journey, this journey is not always easy. It's not always in the valley by the clear waters. And sometimes it's over rough and rocky mountains. And sometimes it's down in deep gorges, and sometimes it's in valley of dry bones. It's not always going to be the same. So we need to have adequate food and water supply so that we can move on. You know, an army, when it moves, it has to move. It has to have food and it has to have water. Got to have supplies to be able to move. And he said, you're on a journey and it's too great for you. And he arose and he did eat and drink and what? In the strength of the meat, it lasted 40 days and 40 nights. Now we're looking at a physical thing, and I want to make a spiritual application. A little bit of the Word of God, a little bit when you get it in you, will last a long time. If you just get it in you. The problem is you know how easy it is to not read your Bible? It is so easy. And days will pass, and you'll think, when was the last time I read my Bible? And it'll be 3 or 4 weeks. You go, man, I hadn't picked up my Bible in 3 or 4 weeks. And then the next thing you know, it'll be a year. You ever done anything like that? I mean, I try to play the guitar. I play at it. And I'll get it out, and I'll play it, and I'll put it away. You know, kind of set it up. And the next thing I know, it'll be 6 months since I've touched it. Not meaning to, you know, trying to say, I'm gonna get back in there, I'm gonna start practicing, I'm gonna start playing, it'll be 6 months. It's like that. If you do that without food and water, you starve to death, right? Spiritually, you can get so sick and anemic that you can't think of anything, you can't hear, you can't communicate. You know, you heard Brother Peacock when he was talking about the woman that they had, the old woman, man, she was just wild and violent, and they had her in there, and they had to strap her down, take her into the emergency room, and what was her issue? She was dehydrated. It caused a psychotic, it changed her mental state. A sweet old woman that wouldn't hurt a fly turned into almost a raving maniac. And he said once they put the IV on her and got her, said she calmed right back down, was apologizing to everybody. Same way spiritually. You get so dry. You can't get through. And what do we want? We want to speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We want to hear what God has to say to us. Listen, every one of us sitting here this morning has something we want to hear from God on. Every one of us is sitting here this morning. We want some answers. But I need to be in a position so when He speaks, I can hear. So we find here that Elijah's taken out there, and the Lord's merciful. He tries to get Elijah to a point where he strengthens himself so when he talks to him, he can get across what he needs to hear, and Elijah's in the position to be able to hear. So then he says there, he arose and he did eat. In verse 8, he said, in the strength of that meat, he went 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, to the Mount of God. And he came hither to a cave and lodged there. So now again, a lot like Samuel, he's gotten away to a place that's quiet. He's in a cave. There's no noise. There's no distraction. It's where he wants to be. It's where God needs him. I got him fed up. I've got him watered up. I need you to go to this place. I want you to sit there, and I'm going to come by. We're going to talk. And notice what happens in verse 11. It says, "And the Lord go forth. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains. He brake it to pieces, and the rocks in the Lord, before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." What's he doing? He's teaching him some things. Some things we need to learn. We need to pay attention. Pay attention this morning. The Lord's not in a lot of noise. Not in that wind. He's not in this great, you see somebody come up and they're doing these great things and they're doing all this and these big mega churches and they're running the buses and all this and all that. The wind, man, and they're rocking the town and everything else. They don't mean that God's in it. Be careful. Because the Lord's giving you an example of some things. He says here, he goes through there with a wind, man, and he tears half that mountain down. Rocks are just rolling off that mountain. And then all of a sudden, right after that, there's an earthquake comes right behind it. I mean, he's shaking and moving the earth. The Lord's not there in that either. Now, that's pretty impressive. From a humanistic, from a flesh standpoint, we're pretty impressed. God's rocking the world, man. Wind and earthquake, that's impressive from my flesh standpoint. Lord ain't in it. Where are we laying it? Just because it's something in the flesh doesn't mean it's a God. Just because it's something that's a wow factor don't mean it's a God. So what are we learning? We're learning that we need to get into a quiet place, a still place. We need to make sure that we're fed and we're nourished, be able to hear. We need to get along and get rid of distractions. And we don't need to be impressed by anything that's a wow factor. The Bible says, then the Lord came with a fire. And then after the fire, what? Still, small voice. Samuel. Samuel. He didn't rock the earth with Samuel. He didn't drop the ceiling on Samuel. He didn't burn the house down on Samuel. He went, Samuel. Samuel. Small voice. A still voice. That's how the Lord speaks. The Bible over there says when Moses goes up onto the mountain, and if you remember when Aaron and Miriam had their little tiff with Moses, and the Lord told Moses, said, you bring them up here to the front of the altar. He said, I'll come down here and I'm going to meet with all of y'all. In other words, bring them into my office. We're going to talk. And he gets Aaron and Miriam and he gets Moses in there. And Moses is in there and he's just back over here out of the way. And the Lord's talking to Miriam and Aaron. He said, I don't talk to Moses like I talk to everybody else in visions and dreams and these things. He said, I talk to him mouth to mouth, face to face. Imagine talking to God face to face. Moses is sitting there, and I can hear God. God's not raising his voice. He's saying, now, Moses, this is what I want you to tell the children of Israel to do. In a still, small voice, Moses, this is what I want you to do. I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. See, we always get the Hollywood version. I am that I am. That's the way we thank God. And if we don't hear it that way, then we think that's not God. But that's totally opposite of what God says. That's why you need to be in the book. Because you've got to dispel bad habits. And we develop bad habits, like being here on the altar. We're in a hurry to get up and move. Oh, well, we've got to get out of here before the last verse. Oh, they'll quit playing. If they quit playing, then then, you know, everybody's going to think that I'm just holding up the service. Get out of that bad habit. You're there because God called you down there to pray. You stay there and pray. I can lock this whole building up and go out that door, and you can still be there praying, and that's fine. Because it's not for me, it's for you. And I can go out that door, and when you get done, you can go out the same door, and don't worry about it. So we find that the Lord is in a still, small voice is where the Lord speaks to Elijah. And we find that the Lord tells him some things, and he gives Elijah what he needs. And notice that when Elijah gets done, he's refreshed. He's got the answers he needs. He's got the rebuke that he needed. He's got the encouragement that he needed. And he's back in the game. That's what we need. A lot of times we get so hurt or so tired or so sorrowful, we just sit down out of the game. We've got to get back in the game. Got to get back in the journey. All right, now take your Bible and we'll look at a couple of more over the New Testament. We'll take it over here in Matthew 14. I want to look at our Savior because He's our illustration. Amen. Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. We find here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, that Jesus straightway constrained his disciples to get in the ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. Now what was going on is that he was feeding the 5,000. He just spent a day of ministry. So the Lord has been there all day preaching and ministering to all these men and women. He's sitting there, he's preaching, and he says, all right, we need to feed them. We can't send them away hungry. And they say, well, you know the story. What are we going to do? You know, how are we going to feed these people? And they said, the Lord said, what do you got? And they said, well, we got this fish, and we got these bread, and this is what we got. And the Lord blesses it, and of course, he feeds everybody there, and he take up all the overage and all that. So now when the Lord gets done with a full day of ministry, he constrains the disciples. He says, get in the boat, go on across the water. He said, I'm going to stay here. And he said, I'll send everybody away. That's a good pastor, isn't he? He said, all you deacons, all Zarni, the sound crew, Bo, the choir, leading the choir. He said, all you guys, y'all go into the house. I'm going to hang out here and I'll send everybody away. And so he does that. And straightway, he says, he gets them in there and he sends the multitude away. And when he has sent the multitude away, what did he do? He went up into a mountain apart to pray. He could have stayed right there by the seashore, couldn't he? He sent the multitude away. Why did he go up in the mountain? Because he wanted to ensure a place to be alone. If he would have stayed there and somebody would have come by, they would have said, hey, man, where's that preacher at? Well, he's right down there by the seashore. That's where we left him. If you go on down there, you'll run into him. He's still there. See? He got someplace else alone to pray. Do you have a place that you can get alone to pray? Do you have a spot? I hope you do. If you don't, you need to get one. You need to have a spot. Maybe it's in the woods. Maybe it's in a certain part of your house. Some place to where you can tell the wife and the kids, when this door is closed, don't bother me. Because that's where you need to be able to get to. And the Lord Himself does it. Now, this is God manifest in the flesh. Now, listen, if the Lord condones prayer, if the Lord uses prayer, then I would advise us to pick up His habit. And I would advise us to look at His example and find us a place alone somewhere that we have a place to pray. Because He takes those, notice He goes up into the mountain apart to pray. He's praying the whole afternoon until evening. Notice that He's not in a hurry. He has a set aside time to pray. You say, well, now, brother, I don't have that. I understand. I don't either. So I've got to be even more careful, don't I? I've got to be even more diligent, don't I? Because I don't have the ability to have the time. So I've got to make use of my time. Do you make use of your time? Or are we kind of piddling away on other things? Amen. You need time. You need time alone. You've got to be able to have a place that you can go to so that you can get the answers that you need. You need to have a designated place. You need to be able to be still, and it needs to be able to be quiet, and it needs to be able to have no distractions. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. All right, now take your Bible, and we'll look at one more. We'll look at one more here. Turn over to Matthew chapter 26. We'll look at this one, then we're going to close. Matthew chapter 26. We're looking in verses 36 through 39. And, of course, this is the garden. Now, this is a time of prayer and great stress. Now, notice we're trying to observe some things so that we can learn some things. And we're observing the greatest teacher ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find in Matthew chapter 26, in verse 36, it said, Then cometh Jesus with it unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Alright, so he sets the group down there. And he says there, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy, the brothers are there with him, supporting him. You pray with your brothers, are you there to support them, to pray? And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. I'd say there's a lot of exceedingly sorrowful souls this morning. Exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death, tarry ye here and watch with me. Watch and pray. Watch with me. Pray with me. And he went a little farther and fell down on his face. Now notice what he's doing here. The Lord's saying, listen, you got a group of brothers. You say, listen, brother, I've got some things I need to pray about. Would y'all pray about them? Yeah, brother, we'll pray about them. Then you got some brothers that you've got that are closer. Peter, James, and John were closer to the Lord. John was the one, he said, whom the Lord loveth. Close. Then you got those brothers that you get them to pray. Then you got some brothers you want to pull in a little closer and say, listen, guys, I really need to pray. I'd like for you guys to sit over here and pray while I come over here and pray. And pray for me. Pray with me. Watch and pray. And then the Lord goes and he gets down on his face alone and he prays. Now there's some consistencies there is that the Lord's alone. He's away by himself, away from the others. But notice he's called in reinforcements for his praying. Now of course they weren't ready. We know the story. They let the flesh get them. They were over there asleep. So now that begs to ask the question, are you ready to pray for a brother? Be able to get an answer for him? But to do that, you're going to have to be prepared. You're going to have some things in your own life right. Your own flesh subdued. Those things have to be done so that you're able to pray. And listen, brethren, in this day and time, we need to have these things down. Because I know the sincerity of your heart. I don't question the sincerity of it. But I know that when I fall down on my knees, and like I told you the other day, when I want to call them before the throne of grace, I want to be able to get a prayer through, but I also want to be able to hear. And God help me when a family is going through some sorrowful times and I get out and try to lift them up in prayer, be able to hear what God wants me to do for them to comfort them. Need to be prepared. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Do you? Can you say that? Speak, Lord, I hear. I'm in tune, Lord. If you can't, need to get some things right. Let's get a song. Get a song this morning. If you need to come, stand with me if you would. While they're coming to sing. Father, I pray that you just bless this now, Lord God, and use it for your honor and your glory. And Father, if there's one here that Father just needs to come and pray, Father, I pray that they just come down to the altar, Lord, and Father, cry out. And Father, I do, we do, we want to lift up, we want to get prayers through, we want to lift up our pastor's family, and Father, we want them to be wrapped in your love, and Father, comfort them as only you can. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this church and the direction, Lord. Father, we pray we need prayers answered on direction and what way we're going to go. And Father God, we've got a lot of questions and we need to be able to hear. Father, I pray for your people, Lord. I lift them up to you, Lord God. Father, I pray you just touch them this morning. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.